and she was driving in a pretty large Lincoln, Cadillac, whatever, and she pulled up in front of the store, and there was only one spot there. It was one of those parallel parking spots, and she was trying to maneuver that big thing in and get it parked. And as she was trying to get back in, a young guy, a little small sports car, come ripping in and just pulled right into her parking spot. And he jumped out to go in the store, and the old lady got out of her car and said, why'd you do that? He looked at her and said, because I'm young and I'm quick. And he went on in the store, and he got his stuff, and he come out in a few minutes, and he found the old woman in the car just backing into the side of his car. Just repeatedly backing into the side of his car. And he went up and said, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? She said, because I'm old and I'm rich. Yeah, and so, yeah, some people, you see those shirts that say, I'll get mad, I'll get even. Yeah, that's what some folks do, but some, they struggle a little bit. They don't do too well with getting mad or getting even. They tend to hold it up inside. We've kind of been taught and growing up in our society to hold your emotions, we tell our boys, big boys don't cry. We talk about, just let it go, don't say anything. We tend to kind of bottle things up and allow those things to work on us. And they eventually, generally sometimes when they end up erupting, a lot of times, you get something happens at work and you bottle that up, and something happens, on the way home, somebody cuts you off on the road or something, and you walk in, you get home and your children or your wife or your husband, says something or does something really, kind of innocently, we boil up on them. But, that bitterness, it is a problem that I think we really struggle with. As I've studied this week and looked and thought about this topic, I've been reading different medical opinions and psychiatrist opinions of what the issue of bitterness and unforgiveness, all the impact that has on our life. And Wednesday night, I actually preached on the verse before this, and in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 14, where the Bible says, tells us to pursue peace with all men and holiness, and talked about the idea of being holy and how God wants us to be holy, and that we have an obligation to attempt to be holy because of what holiness costs. We couldn't be holy without Jesus Christ's death and because of the price He paid, allowing us to be holy. But in studying for that passage, for that message, as I read the context around that verse, I kept coming back to this verse. And I've used this verse for various lessons and illustrations, but never actually stopped and preached on just this verse where the Bible says, tell us to be careful unless a root of bitterness springs up in us and defiles many. And that's kind of a paraphrase of the verse. But he uses that phrase, a root of bitterness. And as I thought about that, and thought about the verse that preceded it, pursue peace with all men and holiness. And you know what? As I thought about that, perhaps, maybe, and I don't have statistics to prove it, but I would go out on him and say, what if not the number one issue to our peace with all men and our holiness is this issue of bitterness, things that that just sit in our life and they fester. Someone hurt us, someone has injured us, someone has done something wrong to us, and we have just allowed that to fester. There are, as I studied this and looked up and thought and looked at what people have written about the issue of bitterness, I never really thought about how much of bitterness is ancient, honestly, that we go back, and there are probably some of you, if I was to dig around long, there are things right now that they go back to childhood. That someone did to you, that maybe a parent, maybe a brother, a sister, a friend in school, or a supposed friend in school, did something 25, 30, 40 years ago that still, if there's much is said about it, kind of, tenses you up a little bit. It's down there. It's boiling up and working on you. I remember years ago being at a conference, and there's a husband and wife couple in Charlotte who do marital counseling, and they talked about in their early days of marriage, said that he that they got in a disagreement, and he got up from the table and just walked out on the back porch trying to get away from just doing an argument. And so when he did that, she just went nuts. You know, she just went crazy as he walked out. We're coming to find out, as a child one day, her mother and father got in an argument, her daddy walked out the back door and just kept walking. He just didn't stop on the back porch. And he was just brewing in her. I heard about a couple where the lady was standing at the kitchen, cooking, washing dishes, whatever, and her husband just came up behind her when he did. She rolled around and smacked him more when he walked. And what happened, I was going to find out, as in the years past, she had been attacked. Somebody came up behind her on the street and attacked her from behind. And so when somebody came up from behind her, they better duck. That was just, it was rooted in her. And that issue, and there are a lot of things. Some of you grew up in homes with different types of parents or different issues, and it sets in our life, and it stirs, and it stews, and it just boils, and it's there, and we just keep dealing with it. And bitterness is an interesting topic. As I look at it, I start looking up, how do people define bitterness? What do they say about bitterness? One of the most interesting ones I found was one that was actually, believe it or not, this was on a T-shirt that said bitterness was drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. I'm not sure who ever thought that would be a good T-shirt slogan, but that was on a T-shirt. But I would say that's what bitterness ends up being. I'm so mad at you, and half the time, have you ever noticed this, that generally something like that is seething in you that the person you're angry at doesn't even know it? They don't even realize that you're just burned. But if you see them, you just say, hey, how you doing? I hope you tripped and fall. I hope you had a good Christmas. I hope you got switches in your stocking. How did you enjoy the snow? I hope you fell on your steps. We're just smiling. We're just nice to them. Inside, we're just boring. And, every time they see us, they think, well, wasn't that nice of him? And inside, we're going, we're drinking poison, hoping that they die. And then that's another one that I found said bitterness grows out of our refusal to let go when someone or something is taken from us. And as I thought about that one, I thought how much deeper this issue of bitterness goes. There are people all around us who are bitter towards God. They look and something has happened in their life. They have lost a job. They have lost a spouse. They have lost a loved one, whether it be death or divorce. And they're angry at God. They feel like something has been taken from them and shouldn't have been. And so they're dealing with this issue of bitterness. And it's just seeping around in their life, and it affects us. Many times we don't even realize just how much it is affecting us. But it's growing out of a refusal. Notice that. I like the way that was worded as I thought about that. It grows out of a refusal. In other words, that's a choice. If you ask me, Jimmy, you want to go outside? I have the option to refuse or accept. Bitterness is an act. It is a choice. You have to choose that. It's not something someone else does to you. Somebody else can't make you bitter. It is a choice. He says that bitterness is the refusal to turn loose of something. It's hanging on to something. But bitterness, and this is a good one. Bitterness is constantly being hurt by a memory, and it's holding on to a hurt until it has a hold on you. You know that one? Think about all the little pieces of that statement. Bitterness is being constantly hurt. It's not saying that someone didn't do something, that something didn't happen in your life. Notice none of these definitions of bitterness say you're dreaming, or you're crazy, you're imagining things. It says it's constantly being hurt by memory. It's something that's real. It happened, but it's constantly being hurt by something that is gone. And then look at this again. This choice of holding on to it until now it has a hold on you. Now it has a hold on you. And then this one came from one of the mental health posts. Says bitterness is the most unhealthy emotion that you can have. Bitterness is the most unhealthy. You say, I'm not bitter. I don't have any bitterness. Let's think about this for a moment. Let's just run through a few questions to think about this one. Is there someone that if I were to say their name or to put their picture up here on the screen, that you'd kind of it's kind of a great joy to it. If you were to pick up your paper tomorrow and find out that so-and-so had hit the lottery this weekend and won millions, would you hope they choked on the money? little sellers, or someone that, if you were going along in the store and you saw that person, you might cut down another aisle. That just to keep from running out. Listen, I understand that's not necessarily bitterness. There may be somebody that if you go down that aisle and you get tangled up with them, you'll be there tomorrow. I understand that. But, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference. And so all of us, I think, at times have to wrestle and struggle with this issue of bitterness, of an anger, of an unforgiveness that is brewing in our heart. And in this verse in Hebrews 12, verse 15, after he tells us to pursue holiness, to pursue peace, then he says, be careful. Don't let a root of bitterness spring up in you. Let's really be the followers. I thought about that. I think there's three things that we need to understand from that passage about bitterness that are crucial. If you want to have, I said recently, if you want to make a resolution, if you want to have a good 2011, here's what it is. Verse 14 tells you, pursue holiness. Be like God. Do everything you can to follow His commandments. If you want to have a good 2011, then you can't do it without pursuing peace with all the people and holiness, as it says in verse 14. But here's the trick to that. You can't pursue peace with all people and holiness until you deal with verse 15, where it says, be careful of a root of bitterness. And I thought about that. I'm not much of a gardener. I'm not much of a farmer of anything. As long as, food line's got a produce section, I'm good. I don't need to tear up nothing, okay? If I try to garden, they can arrest me for murdering a bunch of innocent seeds. That's what it amounts to, because I'm just not very good at it. I'm just not. If you want to, sometimes I get close to these flowers, they kind of work out. I'm deaf to living plants. I'm just not good at it. But I do kind of understand the process of trees and roots and those kind of things. And so as I thought about this statement, isn't that an interesting statement? Be careful of a root of bitterness. A root of bitterness. Now, what do we know about roots? Let's see if we're, what do we know about a root? Something grows out of it. What else? These nourishment supports the whole thing. It goes deep. In other words, generally the root's unseen, right? Generally the root's invisible. So let's think about that for a moment. He says, be careful of a root of bitterness. Let's think about this inception. Where does it come from? He says, be careful of a root of bitterness. And think about it. Well, honestly, and I realize I'm spitting words between some words and emotions, but honestly, most of the time, bitterness, like a root, is unseen. You really don't see bitterness. What you see is what comes out of the bitterness. The bitterness is internal generally. Generally what you see is anger. Generally what you see is revenge. Generally what you see is gossip or lies. But the root is bitterness. Bitterness is that thing, somebody again, just like I said earlier, they can walk up, they can stand and preach, they can stand and sing, they can teach you Sunday school class, they can walk up and hug you around the neck and tell you how much they love you, but inside be harboring a root of bitterness. Be smiling. Listen, every one of us knows that there are people out there who can smile to your face and stab you right between the ribs. Bitterness is generally pretty much an unseen thing. It starts out as a root. It starts out underground. It starts out, again, as somebody, those definitions said, a memory, something that is virtually unseen and unknown. Somebody says something to you, and they don't even know they hurt your feelings. They don't even know that they've upset you. But that root begins to grow in you. And notice what it says. It says that root, it's unseen. It goes beyond anyone. You've seen it. And once in a while, someone cares it so long, and you begin to say, well, they're bitter. But how do you know someone's bitter? Generally, you know someone's bitter because they actually act out on it. They lash out. They're angry. They're mean. They're spiteful. Something along those lines. Generally, the bitterness itself stays to begin with as a root, just unseen. And everything else kind of feeds off of that. Kind of like the roots of a tree. That root out there, if the roots die, then what happens to the tree? with that. You know, if you got strong roots, you probably got a good tree. And that root of bitterness begins to flavor everything in that person's life. Who they associate with, where they go, what they do, how they talk, how they act. And that root of bitterness, it starts out as just a small thing, something insignificant, almost invisible. But here's what's really scary about it. It's not that it just says that it is a root of bitterness that we think about the inception, but notice the expansion. Look what he says. He says, that root of bitterness springs up and defiles many. That root of bitterness, what started out as something really small? What started out as a cross word? What started out as an insignificant action? That root stays in place. And it begins to grow and it begins to develop. And all of a sudden, one day, something happens and boom! There, and you're like, where'd that come from? Yeah, more likely than not, the person who it falls on is like, where'd that come from? Yeah, what happened? That root of bitterness has been sitting there, and it's been growing stronger and stronger and developing, and finally something triggers, and it bursts through the ground, and it comes up. Yeah, and sometimes we try to keep it in check. We try to keep it pushed down. I remember at my grandma's house, we were going to garden in that field one time. Now, I've never heard of this stuff. When I mentioned 3:37, somebody's like, yeah, I know. You know, I don't know if it's got a real name. We called it nut gas. You remember that junk? How could you forget it? You know, that stuff, you know, you go out there. Somebody's been there with that stuff before. You go out there and you take your hoe and you hoe it up, and you go back to get down to the end of the road, and there's hole in the roof, and it's already gone back. That's the most unbelievable junk you've ever seen in your life. You know, you're trying to hate it. It's ducking. Yeah, that's some unreal stuff. Yeah, kind of found out what you have to do is you can't just dig off the top. You have to dig down into the ground, and down in the ground, there are little white nuts down in the ground, and the grass coming up out of it. Yeah, and if you don't get that root out, in no time, it'll pop back out. Yeah, it'll come right back. Well, that's what he's talking about. He says the root of bitterness. So it's like a little root under the ground. Yeah. Oh, like Bermuda grass. Anybody ever dealt with Bermuda grass? Yeah. I am convinced you could take one little, some people call Bermuda grass junk grass because it kind of looks like joints. You know, little sections. I'm convinced you could take one piece of Bermuda grass. One piece. Probably about that long. Get you a GPS system. Find out where the center of Cabarrus County is. Put it down there. Cover the whole county in black plastic and concrete. Go up to the Rolling County line at the edge of your black plastic and concrete. You know what you'd find? That Bermuda grass had been come up, stuck his head up. Yeah, I just am convinced of that. That's what the circle in our driveway. Yeah, let me save y'all some money if y'all haven't already sent your money in this idea. This landscape fabric stuff they sell to put down and keep. Don't waste your money. You know, just go out in your backyard, take a $20 bill and strike a match to it and consider it even. You'll have a lot less work involved and a lot less frustration. The circle in the middle of our driveway, I don't know, probably has 5 different layers of that stuff. I bet it's got several tons. Me and David and Caleb stood out there and shoveled them off of the broke up brick pieces, put down on that. And this is all in a mix, sometimes layers of the stuff, the bricks, then the more of the stuff, 2 layers of the stuff at one time, I remember. I don't know how many pounds of those wood chips we put on top of the brick. Yeah. And I have to spray weekly to kill the grass. But it comes out. Listen, bitterness, you know, and I know this about that little circle. I can go out there and spray it and have it looking really good and have all the red wood chips showing and looking really good. And I'm standing there looking at it knowing that somewhere underneath 10 tons of it, 5 layers of landscape fabric, 1,000 pounds of wood chips, there's a little bit of grass going. I'll be back, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know that. I can't go grass in my yard. I can go grass on my driveway. No, never fails. It'll come right up on my concrete. Bitterness will expand. It's something you can't keep to yourself. Notice what he says. He says that root springs up. And then here's the scary part. It defiles many. I am the world's I should be the last person in the world to use this illustration. But I'm going to because it fits. Anybody who has rode with me, or anybody who will ride with me, let me tell you, I'm not a fan of seatbelts. I'm not opposed to them. I just don't think about putting them on. I got to go. You know, generally if somebody will remind me, I'll put it on. You know, if you got an annoying car like Caleb that beeps every 5 seconds, mine will eventually shut up. His just keeps on and on and on and on. It doesn't matter how fast you drive. Ding, 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 ding. It's more annoying. Just throw me out the window. You know, it doesn't have to be less annoying. You know, I'm not very good. But here's the thing. I don't question the value. I just, you know, I need a car like David had the first car that when you got in, the seatbelt was there and it locked you in. I could live with that. But I've heard people say about the seatbelts before, what difference does it make? I'm not hurting anybody but myself. You can't be that naive. You can't possibly be that silly to think that if you get launched through your windshield, that you're not going to hurt anybody else. You know, surely somebody cares about you. Yeah. If nothing else, the person who has to come scrape you up off the street, they had something better to do. Yeah. If nothing else, the people who are sitting in the traffic jam while they scrape you up off the street, you bothered them. It is impossible to live your life and not affect and be affected by other people. And I promise you, if you have a root of bitterness, it will spring up and it will defile many. It will affect your entire church. It will affect your entire family. We just came through Christmas and Thanksgiving. You know as well as I do, there were gatherings that were affected in your family or other families that were affected because Aunt Daisy don't get along with Uncle Fred. A couple of you know Aunt Josie, huh? You know. It affects other people. It affects others. When I hear people having to have two different jargons because they can't bring so and so and so and so under the same roof. Listen, bitterness will spring out and it will defile many. It affects so many areas. First of all, the previous verse said, pursue peace with all men and holiness. The Bible tells us very plainly that if we're not right with each other, we can't be right with God. So it's going to affect your spiritual life. It's going to affect your church family. Listen, it makes common sense that this is an obvious one, that if Archie and I have bitterness between us, and he's trying to lead the music and lead worship, and I'm trying to preach, and we're busy trying to stab each other in the back, that's going to fall out here and affect the church, right? Well, are we so naive? Yeah, Archie and I don't live in a vacuum. The same thing is true. If you can't get along with somebody that sits on this side of the church, or somebody that sits back there, or somebody that sits up here, it spills out. Bitterness will spring up. You may think you've got it under control. You clip off the top every so often. It pops up and you want to get angry, but you don't deal with the root. And it keeps coming back. You know, there's a word I had to get them to help me at the 8:30 service. They call them volunteer plants, you know, that just come up. Yeah. I remember years ago, some of you here, you know Lee Griffin. Lee ran Lee's sandwich out in Kannapolis for years. 10 hot dogs for a dollar was his deal. For some reason, we were out at, me and my brother were out at Lee's, and we went down to his hog pen. And right in the middle of his hog pen, he had a marijuana plant coming right up in the middle of his hog pen. Yeah. It was right up in the middle of it. Yeah. You know what that is? No. I said, marijuana. Yeah. He didn't know what it just came up. You know what? That plant didn't just come up there. Somewhere, somehow, seed got there. Now, I know Lee didn't plant it. I know that. It was just somewhere in something in the slop or whatever that went in the whole lot. But somehow or another, that seed was planted. You know, we talked about, those trees come up. Every now and then, you look around and you say, well, I wonder why that's there. Think about kudzu. Just think about it. That started out with a good intention. And now, you go out Mooresville Highway out of Kannapolis. It's everywhere. Yeah, I remember that mill in Mooresville. It used to be everywhere up the side of that mill. Yeah, listen, root of bitterness will spring up and defile many. We need to deal with the root. You can't just keep, you can't just keep cutting off the flowers. You got to deal with the root. The inception, the expansion, which brings us pretty simple to a decision. Well, we talked about it in the definition. when those who are in the mental health field and other places say it is a refusal or a choice not to deal with it. It's a choice. It is holding on to something, deciding, determining to hold on to something. It may be 40, 50, 60 years old. I'm telling you this morning, there are people who are 50 and 60 years old or older who are still bitter about things that happened to them as children. I know that because they come and they sit down in my office and they tell me about it. And something that has happened today has triggered that thought in their mind. A root of bitterness. It will spring up. I think about my great-grandmother. My great-grandma could have walked up here and pinched a tip off of one of these leaves and planted it and had a flower grow. Yeah, she just was that way. You go to her house, say, that's a pretty plant. You want some? I'll pinch you off some. You know, she could do that. Yeah, pinch it off, put it in chocolate pudding, and it would grow. She was amazing. That's the way bitterness is. Just takes a little pinch. We have to make a decision. Look what he says. Look at that verse. Everything about it is a decision. Looking diligent, lest any man fall of the grace, lest any root of bitterness spring from you, thereby men be defiled. In other words, it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. Dig up the root. You can keep trying to cut off the top of the plant, but as long as that root's still there, ever so often, it'll bust through the surface. It'll break through, and it'll spill on someone. But here's the problem. I heard Dr. James Merritt just make this statement about bitterness one time. He said, bitterness is the only thing in the world that does more damage to the basin it's stored in than to the object it's poured on. Think about that. Bitterness does more damage to the basin it's stored in than to the object it's poured on. Simply put, most of the time, the majority of the time, the person you're the most bitter towards does not even realize you're bitter. It does more to damage you. I read one time about unforgiveness, and there were several studies done, and one of the conclusions was this, that the vast majority of those who are being kept or held or staying in the mental type institutions in America, if they could ever forgive, they could be released to live a normal life. In fact, if I remember correctly, and I'm winging this right here, I'll be honest with you. If I'm not mistaken, the number was 90% was their estimate. Of those being held from mental type, held and treated, that if they would be able to ever forgive, they could go on with a normal life. Bitterness, it's a root. Many times unseen, but it will spring up and defile many. I want to ask